Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise as we bow ourselves before you, Father. For we have discovered a wonderful reality of your word manifested into us, Father. And we know, Lord, that this reality of the living and abiding word has to be developed in each and every one of our lives. That the body of Christ has been called forth, O God, to receive and realize this living and abiding word, to communicate this living and abiding word into the entire creation, Father. It is our destiny, Father, to manifest this realm of the word in which we were born again, Father. This realm of the word that is to be developed in our being, brought forth in living tabernacles, established in the faith of Jesus, manifested in the love of Jesus, unveiled by the Holy Spirit, expressing, O God, the living Christ, Father, from within us and amongst us, Father. Expressing the name of Jesus from victory to victory. Expressing the name of Jesus to the glory of your majesty, Father. There is an awesome reality of this word that stands according to who you are and to all that you are, Father. This word, O God, that it is your purpose to fulfill and manifest, O God, in growing measures of the fullness of Christ Jesus. This word that is unveiled, O God, in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This word, O God, that has the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe in him, Father. So we pray that you will unveil this revelation of your word into our beings, that we will come to receive and realize this word, O God, by the Spirit in Christ Jesus, to know and understand this realm of the abiding word that stands in the testimony of Jesus, so that everything that we do, everything that we become, Father, we will be a living expression of your righteousness in Christ Jesus. We will be a living expression, O God, of the work and ministry of your Holy Spirit, that we will be a living expression, O God, of the wonder of the name of Jesus alive in our hearts, Father. So we pray that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus will be released, O God, from our hearts, O God, as a living radiance of the bright and morning star in growing measures of his fullness, Father, as we choose to magnify the name of Jesus, as we choose to live the testimony of Jesus, as we choose to give expression to his testimony, O Lord, in all that we become, in all that we do, Father, in thought, word, and in deed, by the Spirit, to the glory of your majesty, Father. So bless this time, O God, unveiling your word to us in revelation knowledge, Father. Unveiling the word in us, O God, as the living and abiding word. The word that will unveil us as a new creation in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. The word that will unveil us in accordance, O God, with the mystery of your will, fulfilled uniquely in each one of us. Even as your word declares, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Even as your word declares that the sum total of your thoughts over each one of us is vast, Lord. So we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the worship. We give you the praise. We thank you for the glory of your grace unveiled to us in the Beloved. We bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Being born again through the living and abiding word of God. 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and abiding word of God. The living and abiding word of God. This is the word that God has given us. And this is the word that God wants to develop inside of us. And we have said that this word stands according to the name of God. This reality of the word unveils to us in the wonder of who God is and all that God is, as God explains himself to us in Christ Jesus. This word that is living and abiding comes to us through the testimony of Jesus. That means that this living and abiding word is explained to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. This living and abiding word is explained to us and manifested in our lives in the faith and love of Jesus. This word is the word that Jesus came to unveil to us. This is the word that will become a living and growing covenant in each one of us. This is the word that God wants to develop in each one of our beings forever and forever and forever. God is watching over his word to perform it. What God performs will be manifested in living and abiding realities. This is what separates the Old Testament from the New Testament. In Jesus Christ, God opens to us a new plane of the Word. He opens to us the plane of the Word that stands according to who He is and all that He is. He unveils to us a plane of the Word that is glorified according to the name of God. Why glorified according to the name of God? Glorified through the testimony of Jesus. The Word of God that God unveiled in the Old Testament is glorified in the testimony of Jesus. It is glorified by all that Jesus came and fulfilled in His life. All that Jesus Christ came and did for us on the cross. All that God vindicated in the life of Jesus by raising Him up from the dead and seating Him at the right hand of the power on high, at the right hand of the majesty on high. This living and abiding Word of God came into your life and my life the moment we were born again. But that is merely a beginning. That is merely a beginning, and God wants you and I to understand that this living and abiding Word of God unveils us as a new creation in Christ Jesus. This living and abiding Word of God unveils us so that we will unfold God's purposes as the Word is worked into us by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. As the Word is worked into us in the Spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Word is worked into us in the faith and love of Jesus for each and every one of us. This realm of the Word was veiled in the Old Testament. This realm of the Word is brought to us in and by and through the name of Jesus. This is the realm of the Word that is unveiled in the fullness of Christ Jesus. This is the realm of the Word that communicates the substance of the Master's fullness. The substance of Mashiach Yeshua, Christ Jesus, our Messiah. The substance is of His character, His nature, His personality. The substance is of His faith and His love. The substance is of His being. The substance is of His person. The substance is of His character, His nature. Being unveiled in us in growing measures of His fullness. And all that God is communicating to us comes alive to us in something called the testimony of Jesus. Revelation chapter 19 verse 10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It is the basis on which the prophetic is manifested. It is the basis of all fulfillment. What is the difference between the Old and the New Testament? In the New Testament, the Word of God has the potential of being fulfilled. Why does it have the potential of being fulfilled? Because in the New Testament, the Word of God is being explained to us in the testimony of Jesus. The Word of God is being brought alive to us in the Spirit and life of Jesus. The Word of God is being communicated to us in the faith and love of Jesus. And in the Spirit and life of Jesus, in the faith and love of Jesus, in the fulfillment, in the fullness of Jesus Christ, the Word of God has the potential of being continually fulfilled in growing measures of the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's why Ephesians chapter 1 verses 22 and 23 says that the church is the body of Christ, the fullness of Him who must fill all in all. How does the fullness of Jesus Christ come into the body of Christ? Through the Word, through the living and abiding Word. The living and abiding Word is a communication of the fullness of Jesus Christ. This is the Word that God unveiled to Moses in prophetic terms when He took him up into Mount Sinai and gave him two tablets of the testimony. Two tablets because they represented the law and the prophets. Two tablets of the testimony written by the finger of God. And in Exodus chapter 32, verse 16, it is said that the tablets were the work of God and the writing on those tablets were the writing of God. So that those tablets were entirely the work of God. We come to the New Testament in the flow of Scripture. And the Apostle Paul says that we are a letter of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts of flesh. Combining the King, New King James, and the New American Standard. Right? So we need to understand that God is unveiling something very, very awesome. That the seed of Christ that was planted in us is unveiling in us the reality of the living and abiding Word. And that living and abiding Word is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. That in being born again, God is opening to us an entirely new realm of the Word. A realm of the Word that stands in the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. A realm of the Word that is going to unveil a brand new creation. A realm of the Word that comes to you in the reality of Jesus being your Savior, your Master, your Beloved, your Savior, your Redeemer, your Healer, your Sanctifier, your Strengthener. That He will unveil in you by the Holy Spirit, bringing you forth in His image and in His fullness as a brand new creation, as a chosen instrument of God, as a son unto God, as a priest unto the Lord your God, as a king and a prince of the house of God, right? As a prophet of the Word of God, who is going to speak the Word, and it will be the living and abiding Word, the Word that is creative, the Word that will be an eternal and everlasting blessing, the Word that will grow because it is full of life. And that life is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Can you see that? So in being born again, God has opened to us a reality that we have all experienced. But what we have experienced is just a mere beginning. God wants us to see the greater dimensions of this Word coming alive in us so that we will be manifested as a people who are being saved. That we will be manifested as a people who will unveil the saving grace of God. That we will unveil the reality of a brand new creation. You need to understand something. That in this realm of the living and abiding Word of God, there is a power. That is an awesome power. That power is called resurrection power. And that power has to be manifested and brought forth. That's the mandate of the church, to unveil the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that power of His resurrection belongs to His fullness. It is invested in His testimony. And the testimony of Jesus can only come forth through His living body. And the purpose of the Word of God is to unveil this testimony of Jesus. It will actually transform all creation. It will actually transform all creation. In Revelation chapter 4, you find that there are four living creatures that surround the throne of God. Those living creatures have four faces. Each of those faces are an expression of the testimony of Jesus. The face of the lion, the face of the eagle, the face of the calf, the face of the man. They are all manifestations of the testimony of Jesus. That's the highest level in which God has chosen to unveil Himself, through the testimony of Jesus. And around the throne of God, around those four, around those living creatures, sat the 24 elders. You need to understand something. We are there not because we deserve to be there. We are there because of the testimony of Jesus. We are there because the living and abiding Word of God has been established in each and every one of our lives. We are there not in our merits. We are there in the merits of the Lamb communicated into us through the living and abiding Word of God. Because that living and abiding Word of God is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Are you listening, brother? So in being born again, God has opened to you a realm of the Word that you must very carefully know and understand. You are not called to live by the law. You are not called to merely live by principles. You are called to discover the Word that is unveiled in the testimony of Jesus. You are called to discover to communicate the Word that is entirely described in the Spirit and life of Jesus. The Word that stands in His faith and His love. The Word that communicates the risen Christ. The Word that communicates in His resurrection power. That realm of the Word is what the Church of Jesus Christ is called to receive, to realize, and give expression to. Not an intellectual concept of the Word, but the word that is manifested to us in revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge that manifests an intimacy of Jesus from our hearts of flesh. Because those hearts of flesh are of the substance of the Master's fullness. Those hearts of flesh, right, are an unveiling of the fullness of Jesus Christ that is meant to be communicated into us. And there's no limit to this heart of flesh. Are you listening? Right. So in being born again, God has opened something that is an entirely new beginning. He has opened to us a realm of the word that stands according to his name. We introduced that last week. Right? We introduced that last week. You need to understand that salvation opens to us a realm of the word that stands in the fulfillment of the law, the prophets, the Psalms. In salvation, God is performing his word. In salvation, God is performing his word in very personal and intimate terms into your being, into your spirit, into your soul, into your body, into your heart, into your mind, into your thoughts, your words, your deeds, into your intents, your attitudes, your desires, your imaginations, your objects, your purposes, your will, your emotions, your character, your nature, your personalities, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. He is unveiling a brand new creation. The reality of salvation is a creative process. The reality of salvation is an awesome communication of God's word. God is saving us by his name and vindicating us by his power. His name and his power being communicated to us through the testimony of Jesus. His name and his power being communicated to us in the testimony of Jesus. So David cried out in Psalm 54 verse 1, "Save me, O God, by thy name, vindicate me by thy power." And God is answering that cry in each and every one of our lives. That's why in Revelation chapter 22 verse 16, Jesus is called the root of David, the offspring of David. David means the well-beloved. That through the living and abiding word of God, God is communicating to us a love that is a supreme love. A love that is meant to be manifested in our nature and character in a faith that is absolutely perfect. And all this comes to us through the testimony of Jesus. John 1:16 says, "Of his fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." Realized. That realization is the unveiling of the living and abiding word of God into your being. Now you and I have the potentials of receiving the living and abiding word of God forever and ever and ever and ever. And as the living and abiding word of God unveils inside of us, we grow from glory to glory. From glory to glory. You remember revelation knowledge? Revelation knowledge manifests inside of you in substance and in reality. That reality is a manifestation of light. That reality is the radiance of the bright and morning star. Are you listening? It's a reality of the radiance of the bright and morning star. It's a reality of the fullness of Jesus Christ unveiled inside of you. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19 says that makes you a morning star. That is the prophetic word. Are you with me? And that prophetic word is meant to be manifested in your heart. Now all this is the living and abiding word of God. This is the word that God wants to perform uniquely in each one of our lives. Fashioning us so that we will unveil as instruments of the living God, fearfully and wonderfully made, each one of us being each one of us becoming a living expression of the awesome thoughts of God. Praise the Lord. So that's the realm of the word that God wants you to receive and realize. Now, receiving and realizing this realm of the Word of God is entirely the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this reality of the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit is an unveiling of God's perfect will. Are you listening? So you and I are called to be fashioned and formed, to be created through the word that God is communicating to us according to all of His name. Listening? That word is living and abiding. That word, if you receive and realize it, you will change. You will change simply because that word is being manifested into you in the character, nature, and fullness of Christ Jesus. There is substance to that word. And that substance is of the Master's fullness. It brings into you a reality that is testified to through the life of Jesus. It brings into you a reality of the word that is explained to you through the testimony of Jesus. Explained to you through His Spirit and His life. Explained to you through His faith and His love. Explained into you so that you will unveil it as a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. This is an awesome realm of the word. Far beyond the intelligence of any creature living anywhere, whether in heaven or on earth. This is a realm of the word that is in accordance with all of God's thoughts. This is the realm of the word that declares the kind intentions of the Father's will. This is the word of God, of God that is unveiled to us in the Beloved. For God so loved the world that He gave what? His only begotten Son. And the living and abiding Word of God has the intent of communicating the fullness of the Son into your being. So in John 17, verse 26, the last three words that Jesus mentioned in that prayer is I in them. I in them. In that verse, he talks about manifesting the name of God. And the manifestation of the name of God is going to unveil in us in the fullness of Him. And the fullness of Him, Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 28 says, is our inheritance and our possession. Are you with me? So the living and abiding Word of God is about fulfillment, brethren. The moment you are born again, God has opened to you the reality of fulfillment. The potentials of your life and my life, the potentials of every member of the body of Christ, is literally infinite. Because of the power of the Word of God, because God is watching over His Word to perform it in His own sons, to perform it in each one of us who is a chosen instrument of the living God. Isn't that wonderful? That's why the prophet Isaiah announced that the unveiling of Jesus Christ to us will be wonderful. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Hello? Jesus is born in our hearts. He's alive in us through the living and abiding word. He was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, but He is alive in each one of us. Unto us a child is born. We have received Him, and we received Him through the seed of the word, because He is the word. Unto us a son is given. What does that mean? That in that reality, God is going to unveil us as sons of God. Because of His fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Realized through Jesus Christ. Realized. The realization is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Are you listening, brethren? Now, this realm of the word, you can receive. This realm of the word is what God wants you to know and understand and grow in. He wants you to search for this realm of the word. Because when this word is released into you, it will create. When this word is released into you, it will create, it will fashion, it will form. Let's turn to Psalm 33. From verse 6. To verse 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Talking about the word of God. Right? The word of God, or the word of the Lord, is creative. Right? Life comes from the breath of his mouth. Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every rhema that proceeds from the mouth of God. The rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God is the rhema that comes to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. Because God communicates his word through his Son. He communicates his word through the spirit and life of Jesus. Because in the spirit and life of Jesus, he has testified of the truth. He has explained the truth. And that truth is for us to receive, realize, and live. That's why grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Remember 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 14? That grace is an expression of the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. So grace is an expression of the faith and love of Jesus. Right? Truth is an expression of his spirit and his life. So grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Are you listening? God has opened to us an awesome realm. So everything is possible in Christ Jesus. But it's only possible in Christ Jesus. If you lock out Jesus Christ and start practicing principles, you will never receive any realm, the word anywhere near this realm. Because this realm of the word is only communicated in the testimony of Jesus. That is to say, that every principle must be developed in the fullness of Jesus Christ. If it's not developed in the fullness of Jesus Christ, it will never work. You're only kidding yourself that you can practice the principle. So you must understand that and know that. So in the spirit and life of Jesus, in the faith and love of Jesus, God is opening to us a humongous reality. A reality without limit. And so John says, of his fullness we have all received. That fullness comes through the word. That word is the living and abiding word of God. Hello, that's why the meek can inherit the earth. Right? Are you listening? Right? So that realm of the word you must get into. Right? That realm of the word you must get into. That realm of the word stands in revelation knowledge. That realm of the word comes to you in the knowledge that Jesus Christ received and realized through his life. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 1. Who has believed our message? Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The answer to these two questions is given to us in Romans. Let's turn to that. Romans chapter 10. From verse 8 to 11. In Isaiah 53, God asked the question, who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord is his righteousness. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? To whom has the righteousness of God been revealed? Verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and in doing that, giving expression to the message of God, right? That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Why will you be saved? Because that is the unveiling of the arm of the Lord. Are you listening? Because by confessing Jesus as Lord and believing in your heart, you have received the message of God. The message of God is his living and abiding word. You have received his living and abiding word, and lo and behold, the arm of the Lord has been unveiled in your life. And you are saved. Are you listening? You are saved, right? For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. With the heart man believes. Who has he believed? He has believed the word of God. With the mouth he confesses. What is he doing? He is giving expression to the word of God. He is giving expression to the message of God in his being. And it says, because he does that, it results in righteousness, because the arm of the Lord is unveiled through his word. And the moment you take hold of that word, believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth, the arm of the Lord unveils in the reality of the words that you have taken hold of in the name of Jesus, proclaiming him as Lord, proclaiming the fact that he has saved you, he has died for you. Are you listening? And all this is a manifestation of the rhema of faith, the word of faith. What is the rhema of faith? Whose faith? The faith of Jesus. Because the message of God and the arm of God, if you read Isaiah 53, is unveiled through Jesus Christ. So that word of faith, the Greek word there is rhema. What is rhema? The spirit and life of Jesus. So if it's the spirit and life of Jesus, what is the rhema of faith? The rhema of faith is of the faith of Jesus. It is manifesting the substance of his fullness, communicating that substance to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. And in that process, what is being unveiled inside of you is the arm of the Lord. Are you listening? Can you catch that? So if you receive the revelation word, the word that is brought to you by the Spirit in Jesus' name, in that word is the arm of God. God is manifesting his righteousness through the faith and love of Jesus. Hello? Are you listening? Right? And he's bringing forth something that you and I will never do in ourselves, or can never do in ourselves. In being born again, God has introduced us to the awesome reality of the power of God. You can stand and fast for the next 1,000 years, you will never get born again because you fasted. But in that mere instant of being born again, God brought into us a reality, right, that no religious sage of any religion has manifested. This reality of being born again stands as a reality above all of the righteousnesses of men, including those who stand in the scriptures. Hello. This reality of being born again is manifested through the testimony of Jesus. Right? In this reality of being born again, God has manifested to you what Ephesians calls the surpassing greatness of his power. Are you listening? And that surpassing greatness of his power saves you. What are we saying in all of this? We are saying that there is a realm of the word that the church must get into. That realm of the word that is in accordance with all of God's name. That realm of the word that is explained to us in the testimony of Jesus. That realm of the word that is communicated to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. That realm of the word that manifests in his faith and his love. That realm of the word that is the truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. That realm of the word that opens to us the way that comes to us in Jesus' name. That realm of the truth that manifests to us a life that is entirely described in the testimony of Jesus. Are you listening? That realm of the word where Jesus said, I am the resurrection, I am the life. That realm of life that is entirely described in resurrection power. What is resurrection power invested in? In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, it says that Jesus upholds all things by the rhema of his power. So what is resurrection power invested in the spirit and life of Jesus? Resurrection power cannot communicate except in and by and through the spirit and life of Jesus. And one of the failures of history has been that the church has left Jesus and found substitutes for him. Whether they were theological substitutes or doctrinal substitutes, the reality of Jesus Christ has been replaced by something else. And in that process, Satan has prevented the church from receiving and realizing the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe in him. That surpassing greatness of the power being with the Greek word dunamis, that is communicated in the spirit and life of Jesus. Are you listening, brethren? And that's the realm of the word that this end time church has to capture. It has to take possession of that realm of the word. It must understand that that realm of the word communicated in the spirit and life of Jesus is our inheritance. That we are not going to change the human race with our clever and intelligent ways. That the word of God speaks clearly and categorically. That the fullness of Jesus Christ is to fill all in all. Absolutely everything. That the fullness of Jesus Christ is the entire strategy of God. Hello, let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things on heaven, or things in heaven. Are you listening? So the fullness is in Christ Jesus, and through that fullness is the victory. And the church must unveil the word that manifests the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's what this teaching is about, the fullness of Jesus Christ, unveiled in the living word. That word that communicates the substance of the Master's fullness. That fullness that the church is charged with receiving, realizing, and communicating so that the fullness of Jesus Christ will fill all in all. We must understand that. We must understand that that is what God wants us each to understand and know and pursue. That's what he wants us to pray for. That the fullness of Jesus Christ will come forth in my life and in my ministry. Oh Lord, give me the revelation of the word that will unveil your Son. Reveal him in the word. Reveal the word through him. Reveal the word in his spirit and his life. Establish the word in his faith. Fulfill the word in his love. Manifest his character and his nature. Unveil his testimony from my being. Are you listening? And that's what God wants to hear from his church. He wants us to understand the treasure that God has given us in Christ Jesus. He wants us to understand that treasure of His fullness and take responsibility and have commitment to unveil Him instead of manifesting ourselves as if we are going to save humanity. Are you listening? So this realm of the living and abiding Word of God is entirely of the fullness of Jesus Christ. If you are functioning in the living and abiding Word of God, if you understand the living and abiding Word of God, then in your heart, in your innermost being, there will be a conviction, a growing conviction, a growing desire, a growing passion to communicate the Word of God in the fullness of Jesus Christ, to declare His glory and His sovereignty, to declare His testimony. Are you listening, brethren? Amen. Jesus manifests to us something that we need to hear. Let's go back to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is an expression of the word of the cross. Right? Let's look at this Isaiah 53 again. I want you to take something out of verse 11. It says something very fascinating here. The last, somewhere in the middle of verse 11, by His knowledge the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many. By His knowledge the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many. By His knowledge. By His knowledge. So what does it say? What is His knowledge all about? What He has received, realized, and known in His life? What He has received, realized, and known through His triumph through the cross, that knowledge is what justifies us. I put it to you, brethren, that knowledge is at the heart of the testimony of Jesus. Are you listening? That knowledge is at the heart of the testimony of Jesus. What Jesus realized as the Messiah. Are you listening? Let me show you what the implications of His knowledge are. His knowledge is to be communicated to us. Alright, let's the most powerful two verses that talk about that are found in 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3. From verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Talking about knowledge, the knowledge of God. How do you come to know God? Through the knowledge of Jesus, right? Who else can know God except Jesus Christ? How does the Father reveal Himself? Through the Son, correct? Who reveals the Son? The Father, correct? So He says here, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Tells you something very powerful. That grace and peace are communicated to you in knowledge, correct? What is grace? The faith and love of Jesus. What is peace? The witness of His blood. So grace and peace are communicated to you through the knowledge of God and of His Son. Let's look at the next verse. Seeing that His divine power, the Greek word for power there is dunamis, seeing that His divine power has granted to us how many things? Everything pertaining to life and godliness. How? Through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Let's look at that again. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Can you imagine the power? Everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Correct? Are you with me? So the knowledge in which Jesus Christ justifies us is the knowledge we are called to receive and realize. And that knowledge is the knowledge that unveils His glory and His excellence. Are you with me? His glory and His excellence. And His glory and His excellence justifies us. Make sense or not? Hello? His glory and His excellence justifies us. Is there any doubt that it will justify us? Verse 4, for by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. Okay? So this knowledge is what we are seeking. This knowledge is unveiled to you as revelation knowledge. So where did we start in our basics on revelation knowledge? We said that all of revelation knowledge must unveil in the revelation of Jesus Christ. That the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, right, will give to us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of whom? Jesus Christ. So that the eyes of our heart will be enlightened, so that we will know, right, His inheritance in the saints. So that the eyes of our heart will be enlightened, so that we will know what are the what is the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe in Him. Correct? What is the root of all of that unveiling? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? So the purpose of this revelation knowledge is to unveil Jesus Christ, so that the surpassing greatness of the power that God has invested in Christ Jesus may come alive to you. Are you listening? Hello? This is part of what the Bible refers to as the mystery of Christ. Why a mystery? Because it cannot be intellectually discerned. It has to be spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned through revelation knowledge. A mystery has to be revealed. Correct? So that mystery of Christ is what revelation knowledge is all about. Alright? Now one of the tools that God has given us in order to understand and receive this revelation knowledge is by the use of tongues. Right? We read in Isaiah 53... that Jesus justifies us with His knowledge. How do we get into His knowledge? Through tongues. The prophet announces that in Isaiah chapter 28. Right? Isaiah chapter 28. Let's read from verse 9. What does it say? To whom would He teach knowledge? To whom would He teach knowledge? In the New Testament perspective, we find that God's idea of knowledge is the fullness of Jesus Christ that will fill all in all. To whom would He teach knowledge? And to whom would He interpret the message? Where did we start in Isaiah 53? Who has heard our message? Right? To whom would He interpret the message? How is He going to interpret the message? Through that knowledge. That knowledge that comes to us in Christ Jesus. Are you listening? Those just weaned from milk, those just taken from the breast, for He says order on order, line on line, a little here, a little there. Indeed, He will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. And He said to them, here is rest, give rest to the weary. In the Bible, what is this idea of a rest? The Sabbath. If you go back to the Old Testament, you will find that the Sabbath was characterized by sacrifice. On the Sabbath day, additional sacrifices were made. The sacrifice is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. In that sacrifice, Jesus realized a knowledge in a faith and a love that would save us. Jesus realized a knowledge that the prophet Isaiah says will justify you and me. That knowledge God wants to unveil to us through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. Because it is only the knowledge of Jesus Christ unveiled through his blood that can give you rest. That's why Jesus says, "My peace I give unto you," right? You go back to John chapter 14, right? And that peace that comes, not of the world, but that peace that comes through his blood. All right? He said to them, "Here is rest, give rest to the weary, and here is repose," but they would not listen. They would not listen. Let me put it to you. The fundamental reason in which you pray in tongues is to unveil the mystery of Christ. To unveil the knowledge that he received and realized in his faith and his love. His faith and his love that God justified with resurrection power. Make sense? Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. "For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries." How does God reveal himself to us? How does God explain himself to us? Through Christ Jesus. We find that in John chapter 1 verse 18. John chapter 1 verse 18. In the New American Standard it says that Jesus Christ explains God to us. Jesus Christ explains God to us. "For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries." What is the core mystery that God wants to reveal that is going to fill all in all? The mystery of Christ. Am I right? The mystery of Christ. All right? Verse 4, "One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But one who prophesies edifies the church." What does edify mean? Bring forth in you a renewal, bring forth in you an inspiration, right? Something that builds something inside of you, right? Can anything be built inside of you outside the name of Jesus? When Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," can you build anything? Can you be edified in anything except in and by and through the name of Jesus? Hello? Can you be edified through any other means except through the life and spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hello? Verse 6, "But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by way of revelation or of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching?" At the center of all of those words, who stands there? Jesus Christ. What is revelation knowledge without Jesus Christ? What is prophecy without the testimony of Jesus? What is teaching without the testimony of Jesus? Are you with me? Hello. What are we suggesting here? If you want to get into the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to receive and realize that which stands in his spirit and his life, pray in tongues with a focus on him rather than just trying to get something. Receive his fullness. Change the way you think. Change the way in which you pray in tongues. Change the way in which you operate the gifts. Make Jesus the focus. Make Jesus the means by which you do all things. He must become the way. Hello, I am the way. If he is the way, My understanding of that is that you and I must learn how to do all things through Him, because He is the way. He is the truth. What does the truth do? It sets you free. He is the life. There is no other means by which true life can be described in you and through you except in His name, except in His testimony. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. So the means in which you receive and realize the living and abiding Word of God, one of the most important tools is to use tongues in the Word of God. Energize the Word, brother. Energize the Word. Energize the Word. We have said many things today. We are talking about the living and abiding Word of God. The Word that stands according to the name of God. The Word that is beyond the intellect of man. That Word which unveils only through revelation knowledge. That Word that comes to us only by God the Word, who is Jesus Christ. That Word that manifests inside of us only by the Holy Spirit. That Word that communicates in the spirit and life of Jesus. That Word that manifests in the faith and love of Jesus. That Word that stands in the testimony of Jesus. That Word that has been glorified according to all of God's name, because that Word has been explained in the testimony of Jesus. That Word is a mystery. Proclaim Jesus as your Lord. Use tongues to enter into those mysteries, but focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, not focus on things, not focus on just mere principles and purposes. Focus on Jesus and unveil all that God has for you in Christ Jesus. So in being born again, God has opened to us an amazing reality. Jesus tells us something that we have entered into when we have talked in about tongues. Let's turn to John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 5. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You can only see the kingdom of God by the knowledge that comes to you in Christ Jesus. Right? You must be born again. The knowledge that comes to you in Christ Jesus, right, comes to you in the testimony of Jesus through the living and abiding Word of God. Verse 5. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, water represents Rhema word. Spirit represents the Holy Spirit. Hello? When you pray in tongues, you function by the Holy Spirit. But you must pray in tongues in the reality of the water of the Word. And the water of the Word is the reality of Jesus Christ unveiled in you, in His Spirit, in His life. All right, we will stop here. But let's listen to those words very carefully. Right? The living and abiding Word of God. The Word that unfolds to you only in Christ Jesus. The Word that unfolds to you only by the testimony of Jesus. The Word of God cannot be explained any other way to you. If you really want to know the Word of God as God understands the Word of God, then it's going to come to you in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That knowledge that God says in Isaiah 53 justifies us. I hope you listen. I hope you understand. Right? Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that the living and abiding Word of God is explained to us in the knowledge that Jesus Christ realized in his life and His testimony, Father. And we thank you that that knowledge is being made and communicated into us, Father, so that we will come to know all things that you have for us in Christ Jesus. Enable us to understand that the living and abiding Word of God is alive to us only in Christ Jesus. That when we use tools like tongues, we need to have our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, simply because it is only His fullness that is going to fill all in all. And we must understand that as a living conviction in our hearts. So Father, make that conviction alive in us. Make us understand that it is in the spirit and life of Jesus that we attain a rest, Lord. It is in his growing fullness that we will learn to rest in the power that you have given us in his name. So, Father, we ask you to bless the church in the true, full, and perfect knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to bless the church by unfolding the church of Jesus Christ in the fullness, in his fullness, so that his fullness will unveil throughout the church in all that we become, in all that we do in thought, word, and in deed. Let this mystery, Father, be released, O God, with conviction, with resurrection power. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen.